Hello and welcome to Queensland Freemason podcast number 21, and today this is part two of a two-part series, funnily enough, on the seven liberal arts and sciences. And in part one we looked at the trivium with Graham Schultz and myself, Luke Eelan, and in part two we're looking at the quadrivium. Graham, would you like to introduce yourself and talk a little bit about what we're doing?
Thanks, Luke. My name's Graham Schultz. I'm the Deputy Grand Secretary of the United Grand Lodge of Queensland in Brisbane, Australia, and this is the second part of the podcast. I thought it was interesting, you know, we were talking about, isn't Wikipedia a wonderful thing?
It is.
You know, once you check it out.
Got it here open in front of me.
And the things that you can learn from that. But in the last podcast, I was talking about the sacredtexts.com and the book by Daniel Sickles in 1868.
Sacred-text, just be
careful. Yes, sacred-text.com if you're looking for it. But it's interesting, you know, that during medieval times when learning came under the purview of the church, the subjects called the trivium, you know, the ones we were talking about last year, last podcast, were extended to include mathematics, geometry, music, and astronomy, which included the study of astrology, and that was called the quadrivium, like you said, then were the seven liberal arts, and were the medieval university curriculum.
Yeah.
And I think that's, you know, amazing to think that people had that knowledge. And, you know, when you're talking about it today in a classical education thing, it's wonderful to look back and see where its origins and how it's applied today and just where we still use it in our ceremonies, in particular as Freemasons.
Well, the quadrivium is, I guess, also we were talking just before, Graham, about how it shows the progression of mankind in terms of our thinking and understanding of the world around us and the universe around us. And the trivium from the medieval period, the quadrivium is basically from the Renaissance period and moving forward, because if you didn't have the three roads method to establish some of those symbols, signs and logic, you would not be able to advance on that information. And I have a background in information systems, and we teach that in a way similar to this. We start off with data. Data is then made into information, information into knowledge, knowledge into wisdom. And this is quite similar to that. And so the quadrivium covers arithmetic, grammar, music and astronomy / astrology.
And music, sorry,
for those musicians out there. You can tell I'm a bit of a Luddite when it comes to music.
So you're talking about computing. Well, you know, Sickles in 1868 in his book was talking about it being the science of computing by numbers. And, of course, he wouldn't have meant computers as we know them today. But
similar, though, in some many ways.
And he says, you know, it's absolutely essential to be able to do that, not only to a thorough knowledge of all mathematical science, but also to a proper pursuit of our daily avocation, so we can use that in our daily life. And geometry, or the application of arithmetic to sensible quantities, is of all sciences the most important, since by it we are enabled to measure and survey the globe that we inhabit. And it's interesting, I think, that geometry is acknowledged as the basis of our art in Freemasonry.
Well, I had the first breakdown of that word the other day, because I'm partly dyslexic. Never thought about it. Geometry being and measurement, so the Earth measurement.
Yeah, interesting stuff. So its principles extend to other spheres as well, and, you know, contemplation, measurement of the sun, the moon, the heavenly bodies, constitute the science of astronomy. And lastly, when our minds are filled and our thoughts are enlarged by the contemplation of all the wonders of these sciences open to our view, music comes forward to soften our hearts and cultivate our affections by its soothing influence.
Can I just make a comment on music? I've got a lot of friends who have a scientific background, and one of them actually came up to me and said quite something profound, whether it's original or not, I'm not sure, about music, and saying, in their mind, music is the closest thing we have to magic in our life, as we would perceive magic, pulling a rabbit out of a kind of a hat magic, because it elicits feelings and emotions and creates an atmosphere without seeing it, without smelling it. It's one of those senses that we're intuitively wired into our brain. But when I heard a scientist say that music is like magic, I kind of had to think about that for a minute.
Well, it is, you know, it's that elevated science which affects the passions by sound, and there's few of us who have not felt its charms or its magic and acknowledged
it. Like the magic flute, actually.
Yeah, well, absolutely. Acknowledged its expression to be intelligible to the heart, and it's just a language of delightful sensations, I think, music, far more eloquent than words, and it's a wonderful thing. It can, you know, control passions. It can wrap us in melancholy. It can elevate us in joy. You know, it can dissolve. It can inflame. It can melt you in tenderness, and it can excite you to war. So it's
I'm going to say, all of those things you've talked about are used appropriately, particularly in movies. You'll notice that there's sometimes it's not the scene that you're seeing that's setting the atmosphere, but the sounds that you're hearing. So. In a lot of our ceremonies, we have music that's appropriate for that particular part of the ceremony, and often based on famous bits of music and historical bits of music. So.
Yeah, I've really only started, like you, when becoming a Mason, you only start to really think about some of these things when you study, you know, the seven liberal arts and sciences in Freemasonry.
Specifically studying them too, taking some time out of your life to sit down and figure out what you're passionate about. If I was talented in music, I'd love to have a shot at playing our pipe organ upstairs. We're having a chat with a person today about our pipe organ and how does one learn to play it, and that is you just sit down and have your background in piano and give it a go.
Yeah. But it's interesting about geometry, isn't it, that it's used so much, just getting onto geometry and the basis of our art, and it's a particular science that you use so much and so many different people use it and,
without thinking about it too
much. And our ancient Freemasons used it a lot in their, constructing their buildings. And but architects today use geometry to construct plans and execute designs. The general on the battlefield to arrange the soldiers. The engineer uses it to mark out grounds for a building. The geographer uses it to give us the dimensions of the world. You know, Google Earth, all the things that are contained in the Earth, the seas. The divisions of states and countries, and it's just an amazing thing when you think how far it does go.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so and the only one I think we've got left is astronomy, isn't it?
Is that the only one? I'd like to take a bit of a shot at that before you give it the definition. Astronomy is something I've had a passing interest in my whole life, but I guess recently now that I have a small child, I'd like to try and show my son the position of us in the universe, and it's kind of hard with a small boy to explain to them concepts that have taken us older people a long time to understand. So one of the things we're doing in our family is we've acquired a really basic telescope to be able to stand out there and show physically where we are in the universe, and you can't do that in a single sitting, and you have to do that over a period of time. But over the next period of a year or two, I'd like to sit down and say to my son, this is our position, and you notice this month you'll see the stars above us in a particular way, in another month's time they've moved a little bit, and you can start to get an appreciation of where we are at in the universe.
Yeah, and it's amazing how the early sailors and pioneers and frontier people use the stars to navigate.
Yeah, don't ask me to navigate with them.
No, I'm used to that as well. But you can see the Southern Cross. If you can see the Southern Cross, you know which way to walk in the Southern Hemisphere.
I did learn that in Scouts, I must admit, but that wouldn't be relied upon in the situation very safely.
Well, now you have your iPad, you tell me.
Yes, indeed. It's kind of taken a little bit of the mystery out, but it does also, to some extent, make it possible for you to do research on astronomy without actually taking you months and months of research. So there's a number of applications for people that are Masons or non-Masons interested in astronomy that will walk you through the night sky. On most phone platforms, you can hold your phone up to the night sky or your iPad up to the night sky, and it will tell you what it's pointing at and what you're looking at. And then with your telescope, you can line them up and actually know that when there's a celestial event about to happen, you hear the astronomers say, in 2 days' time, the Leonard's comets will be in the such and such constellation. I'd be like scratching my head at that. Now the iPad lazily just tells me where to look. So,
yeah, and it's interesting talking about terrestrial and celestial, about how that has an impact in our art as well, with the building of King Solomon's Temple and the two great pillars, which had the globe or the sphere on top of it with the celestial world and the terrestrial world. Even back then, 3,000 years ago, people were thinking about that. You know, they used the sunlight to live, and the moon was particularly important to them, but the stars for navigation, and it's a big world out there.
I think, though, the talking of that, it also shows us as Masons that the concepts that people are in popular culture, like the Earth is flat, is not necessarily so. It might have been a concept for a number of years, but if you look back at our ancient fraternity and others, we clearly knew the Earth wasn't flat through astronomy and mathematics. It could tell you quite simply we're rotating in some way. But
think of Galileo,
The
But still, it moves.
The things you can do without television, Graham. It must sound, we might sound a bit old-fashioned, but if you have the time to observe the night and take notes about it, it does become obvious through the use of maths, geometry and astronomy that we're not standing on this flat disk in the middle of the universe. We're actually on a planet on the outer rims of the Milky Way galaxy spinning around a large spiral. But the thing I love about astronomy is that it's a long-term science. It's not something, for example, the precession of the stars is a 2,150-odd-year cycle. It's not something that Graham and I can observe even over a lifetime. So it's a skill that you want to introduce people younger than yourself to so that they can take an appreciation and an interest in these things. It's not like everything in the stars has been discovered. Probably quite the reverse. A small fraction of what we know of the stars we actually can observe. So astronomy is one of those things that I've become interested in. Whether I would say I'm a devotee is not quite the case, but I'd like to explain to my family and friends our place in the universe and be able to point to certain celestial things as they come past. So I'd encourage any Mason out there to pick up a telescope, binoculars or an iPad in that case and do the tour. The great thing about the iPad too is it to some extent can be your astronomer and your expert without you knowing about it. You can take a tour of the planets you're looking at and give you information on each one of them. So pick up an iPad and a telescope and pick up a pencil and a paper and plot those stars and have a look at what you're seeing in your own backyard.
I think I'll try that this weekend when I'm out in Western Queensland and you can see the stars.
Get a great view from there. Yes, and until next month, go and study one of the several arts, liberal arts and sciences, and until then, stay on the level. Thank you.